Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border, and my name is Nicholas, and we're going through, starting today, the book called Malachi. And yeah, a lot of people, I can hear them. Well, you know, why can't you just go along to get along, Nicholas? These are the things that the people want to do. They want to, you know, they want the Easter bunnies in the church. You know, they want the Christmas trees and you know, it makes, he's the reason for the season and all of that. Why can't you just go along and let it be? These are the things that the people want to do, Malachi. I mean, what was wrong with this prophet? You know, couldn't he see that the people, a little bit of pagan things going on inside the temple? That was okay. You know, it was harmless. Nobody meant any harm. They were getting together and, you know, worshiping the Lord and reading the Word. And, you know, so what if they had a little bit of paganistic stuff in there? So what, you know, to bring the people in, you know, so what, you know, go along to get along, you know. Why do you got to start talking about, you know, using the name of the Creator and bring up stuff like that's uncomfortable, you know. We just want to say Jesus and God. We don't care if his name was really Yahshua and the name of the Creator was Yahuwah. You know, that's fine. We don't want to change, you know. And what about that Martin Luther dude, you know, back 400 or 500 years ago, whenever it was, that brought about the Reformation? You know, why was he such a bad Catholic priest? Why couldn't he just go along to get along? You know, I want a little more than Martin Luther was able to accomplish. Because Martin Luther got a Reformation, and he took something and tried to reform it. And, well, it didn't work because they persecuted him. But they took what they took with them, part of the church, the Catholic Church, which they wanted to reform and couldn't. And they took it and they reformed it and started their Protestant denominations. And the things that I'm doing, why am I doing it? Why do I get to stick out like a sore thumb? I mean, I'll tell you, it's not because it's comfortable. Not because I decided to do it myself. But I believe that our Heavenly Father wants to restore. I think he wants more than a reformation. He's looking for a people that want to restore his original intent for the ecclesia, following the Messiah. That's what I believe. He's looking for a restoration of that. Because what we have now, a reformation of what formed in the, you know, during the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages with the Catholic Church, that what formed then was reformed and brought into the Protestant churches, the Protestant churches. Well, it all just kind of degraded and went back. And, you know, perhaps that's just the condition of man. You know, as I go through the scripture and I go through history, I just see it over and over. Is the so-called church, corporate visible church, is it really any different than the visible kingdom, mortal kingdom of God on earth was before Christ? Is it really any different? No, it isn't much different. The difference is that the visible church today, the visible corporate church today, does not have their own nation, and they're not in their own land, separated from the world by a landmass, or, you know, by the boundaries. The difference is that, you know, one difference is that where the mortal kingdom of God called Israel, well, they were in their own nation. They were in their own land. And there, it gets to be the same, because we see that they threw off his laws. They threw off his ways. They threw off his covenant. And they threw him off, the Creator off, as being their king, and said, we want a king like the other nations. So they threw off his government. It was a failed experiment. Something that we could learn from, though. The difference, the church today, the visible corporate church today, I don't really see a whole lot of difference, to tell you the truth. except that it doesn't have its own landmass. It's just here and there you have these different bodies of people. But I see in these bodies of people, I see the same thing that I see in historical Israel as the nation of God. Because we're to be, you know, his people are to be a holy nation. We're to be separate from the world. We're to be a peculiar people. And I don't see that in the visible church, the visible corporate church. I see a lot of tares among the wheat. And, you know, unfortunately, as historically in Israel, and as historically just about anywhere, you'll see that the tares, or those that don't regard, those that are more like Esau, outnumber those that have a heart to follow their Creator, that have a heart to enter His kingdom and say, yes, your commandments are what I want to do because I want to please you with my life. And that's where His kingdom is, where we love Him and we want to do what pleases Him. So we keep His commandments, we keep His law, because it is the law of His kingdom. So let's jump back into Malachi here. But you have profaned it in that you say the table of Yahuwah is polluted and the fruit thereof, his meat, is contemptible. So what these people are saying is that what you provided for us is contemptible. Your ways are contemptible. What you require is contemptible. And that's the idea. In verse 13, you said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and you have snuffed at it. You know, and that so much parallels what the corporate church is doing today. I mean, in that they hate God's law. Oh, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to keep God's law. There's this dichotomy between grace and the law. It's either grace or the law. Well, no, I'm sorry. That's a false dichotomy. His law still stands. It is still the law of his kingdom. And he's looking for people that not are trying to be good so they can get into heaven, but he's looking for a people that love him and say, I do love you, Heavenly Father, and I want to live my life in a way that's pleasing to you. And if you say that and you mean that with your whole heart, then you are like Jacob compared to Esau. And what that means is that you're going to find his law and you're going to say, oh, look, the Heavenly Father gave me his commandments. He said, these are the things that please me. Okay, now I know what to do. Now I know what pleases you. Motivation is very important, is it not? Because if you keep the law legalistically, well, you can still hate your brother in your heart. And that was really the problem with the scribes, the Pharisees of that the ones that Jesus called hypocrites. That was their problem. They didn't love their neighbor. They didn't love their brother. But they were legalistically keeping rules, and they even made more rules. And they even called him a rule breaker. So if we're rule breakers in the world, well, we're in good company then. Verse 14, chapter 1. But cursed be the deceiver, which hath his flock, in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrifices it unto Yahuwah, the Lord, a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith Yahuwah of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Malachi chapter 2. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith Yahuwah of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you and will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. It wasn't in their heart to please the Creator. It wasn't in their heart to walk in His ways. They did not lay it to heart. The only thing in their heart was their own personal gain, their own selfishness. As the scripture even says in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, and to quote something I heard, rather than lovers of God, their wives and their families, men will be lovers of themselves. That is way too well demonstrated in the world around me today. that's the way men and women are, lovers of themselves. And that's really what he's saying here. He says, I'll send you a curse and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces. Oh, that's what an awful picture that is. Very graphic language indeed. Corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith Yahuwah of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. The law of truth. I love that phraseology there, the law of truth. And there's another place in the New Testament, I believe it's in Matthew, it says, it talks about those that do the truth. But the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. You know, I'd love to have something like that said about me. So if the heavenly, if I could live a life that I could turn many away from iniquity, that the law of truth could be found in my mouth. And basically, that's why I sit here and do the things that I do and say the things that I say, even as unpopular as they may be, as much as they may go against the societal norms. I'm not willing to compromise here when it comes to his word. It doesn't matter what, and you'll see that. And I hope you see that as we go through his word. And if you think I'm glossing over something or I'm missing something in the scripture, well, I ask you to go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and email me there and bring me up to speed. Correct me, if you may. He goes on in chapter 2, verse 4, you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith Yahuwah of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me when it was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. So we continue on here, verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. Our lips should be the keepers of knowledge. Nothing froward, nothing perverse, no deception should come out of our mouths. That's what it means. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. And they is the people. They should seek the law at our mouth. So all of you listening to this program, you're seeking the law from my mouth. And that I want you to know that I want it to be so that you know when you come here that that's what you're going to get. You're going to get the law of our Heavenly Father. You're going to get his law from my mouth. They should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahuwah of hosts. But you departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith Yahuwah of hosts. So basically, he's talking to the priests, and we could parallel this over to today, talking about the pastors, the so-called holy men, the holy rollers, the ministers out there today that get up and supposed to be preaching the word of God, causing many to stumble. Talk about the easy believism gospel. How about the gospel of you get to go to heaven, or you get to go to heaven when you die? You know, that gospel that Yeshua never preached. He preached the gospel was, you know, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You got to enter that kingdom now. And it's the kingdom where he is the king and his law prevails. And if you hate his law, if you don't love his law, if you don't desire to do the things that please him, then you're not in his kingdom. You're out. That's it. And it's by your own choice that you're out, because he's not a tyrant. He's not going to make you stay in his kingdom. He's not going to force you to keep his law. There is no force in the kingdom of God. And that's why the minute you decide that you don't want to keep his law, or you've had enough, or you can't go that one extra step, or that he finally has asked you, got to the point of that he's asking too much of you. Because when he comes into our life, he starts to clean house. And if we get to the point where he's cleaning house and we go, that's enough. You know, I'm tired of your house cleaning. That was enough. I don't want to let go of this thing. I want to keep this filth. I want to enjoy this or that. This thing you want to take away from me. And if we balk, bam, we're out by our own choice. We're out of the kingdom. And all of the false assurances that we're going to go to heaven when we die, that was made by some scribe, Pharisee, hypocrite to us to give us a false assurance, it's not going to do us a bit of good. If we're out of his kingdom, we're out, because he is not a tyrant. So here's how it works, and I can tell you this from experience, and so can a lot of other people. If you enter his kingdom, and you enter with joy, and his Holy Spirit starts to convict you of sin, and you start working, you allow the Holy Spirit to work on those areas of your life so that you can keep his law because you want to please him. But then you balk. Let's say there's that sin that you enjoy. You really didn't want to let go of that one. You didn't mind getting rid of the things that were really hurting you or really making you miserable, but you kind of enjoyed this or that sin, and you say, no, that's enough. Well, then he's going to move in, and he's going to chastise you. First, he's going to correct you. That's how he works. And then comes the chastisement. And if you don't heed the chastisement, you're out. That's it. You're out of the kingdom by your own choice, because you said, no, I don't want to keep your law. And that means that you don't want to be in his kingdom, because that's where his law reigns. His commandments reign in his kingdom. And if they don't reign in your life, then there's a good indication that you're not in his kingdom. And if you're not in his kingdom when your earthly life, your mortal existence ends, you're not going to be in his kingdom forever. So you have to be there to stay there. You have to be there to go to heaven when you die. You already have to be in the kingdom of heaven. You can't go there if you're not there. I hope I'm getting that message through. That's why I've preached so much. I mean, that's what our master preached. He said he preached the gospel of the kingdom. And I don't want to preach another gospel. No strange gospels for me. You're going to get the true gospel here. May not like it, and I may not even like preaching it sometimes, but I'm pleased to do it because my Heavenly Father, it pleases him. So let's all do our best to please him and stay in his kingdom. But let's continue here with Malachi. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. Yes, that's, I want to be there. But he says, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. And that is, the people should seek the law at the mouth of the priest, for he is the messenger of Yahuwah, the Lord of hosts. But he tells him, you are departed out of the way. You've caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith Yahuwah, the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. What does that mean, partial in the law? You have been partial in the law? That means that you've decided which parts of the law you want to keep and which you don't want to keep. So you've been partial in the law. Huh. It still goes on today, doesn't it? Nothing has changed. I mean, really, nothing. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Yahudah, Judah, hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of Yahuwah, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. So what's he talking about here? The tribe of Judah, the children of Yahudah, the people called by his name, the Yahudites, the Yahudim, they have what? They've married the daughter of a strange god. So this is a spiritual whoredom, a spiritual adultery, to marry the daughter of a strange god. Yahuwah will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this you have done again, covering the altar of Yahuwah with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Why? And he answers, because Yahuwah hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion, and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet he had the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For Yahuwah, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith Yahuwah of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your word. Well, let's talk about that for a while. There's a lot there. And a lot of people use this as a scripture reference against divorce. And yes, divorce is a terrible thing. Divorce, I think, is worse than death, basically. At least what is commonly called divorce today. It was called putting away then. And we're talking about divorce is something else in the law of God. And putting away was when a man gave his wife a writ of divorcement. And you know what? We're going to pick this up at the beginning of the next hour, which is in a couple minutes. So don't go anywhere.